Jacksonville, Florida. It's time for another Hour of Power with Apostle Kimberly Daniels. Get ready for a 60-minute experience that will change your life forever.
This is Apostle Kimberly Daniels here at Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience, and we are here for another hour of power, hanging out. I don't know what we're going to do. A lady asked me, what's your agenda? I believe that the greatest things happen when people just came together to see what God wanted to do. But we do have a special time that's going on right now. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Rosh Hashanah. Some of you are waiting for January the 1st to come, but we just stepped in, slipped in. We're about to go into a new year. It's actually the new year on the Jewish calendar. It's called the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Trumpets, the day when we sound the trumpet, the Feast of the Lord, Rosh Hashanah. Y'all put that up on the screen, Rosh Hashanah. But it's a new year, new day. But you know, my prayer, and I ministered some on this at Spoken Word Ministries this morning, is that when we have a new season, that we will not take old stuff into our new season. So I got a few scriptures, and I want to share some things that God gave me. First of all, Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verse 18 and 19. It says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I believe that the word of the Lord is that God is about to make a way out of no way. You just stepped into a new season. I know that spiritually speaking, and even all over the world, people are celebrating the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, as we're stepping into a new time, into a new season. How about allowing God to bring a new you? That's what matters most. And in this particular passage of scripture, God is saying to forget the things that are former, and don't consider those things which were old, but it's time to move on. And I believe that many people in the service this morning, they got set free, because we're going to really pray another level of warfare prayer. I saw something in the spirit, and I saw a ball and a chain. A ball. Now, y'all know we've been breaking chains, yoke breakers, demons casting out, but I didn't see people behind bars. I saw people a long time ago, like on the chain gangs, they had this big, heavy ball. It wasn't connected to anything. It was just heavy, and the chain was connected to that person. And the Lord is saying he's going to deliver us. I mean, from me to you to everybody who's listening, anybody who has an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, God is saying he want to deliver you from that ball and that chain, from that thing that's attached to you that's so heavy that you can't move forward. And some people try to pick it up and carry that load, but I believe that God will never put more on you than you can bear. This particular passage of scripture is talking about breaking through and breaking out. God says he'll make a way in the wilderness. He'll bring you rivers in a desert place. And that means supernatural. Are you ready to believe God for the supernatural? A lot of times, you know, we walk by sight and not by faith. But God is calling us to walk by faith and not by sight. We got some folk that's going to call in on the line. We got some folk on Facebook Live. I am telling you, deliverance and healing is in the air. I got a reason to be here today. We're not just sitting here just wasting time. I believe that there are those of you who are watching, not even watching now, you may be watching the rerun, that God is going to release his power and release his anointing on you so that you will be set free. Did you know that if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed? 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 17th verse, it says, therefore, that means some other stuff had taken place. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I'm telling you that I'm ready to go ahead and pronounce out with the old and in with the new. If you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, and I see many of God's people that are on the line, we need to get rid of some of that dead weight, get that dead man off of our back, get that ball and that chain broken off of us. It's very important, and we're talking about new day. We're talking about new beginning, and when talking about new beginning, it's important to understand Jeremiah 29 and 11. And the Lord says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord. Now, this is God speaking specifically to his people. I know the thoughts that I have and the things that I think about you. They are thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. So as we're stepping into something new, we need to have an expectation that God is going to step in and show up on our behalf. There is an expected end. In other words, I believe God that he's going to do some great, some awesome, and some mighty things. Y'all know I just came out of a political campaign, and I won. Yay, I won. But let me say this. See, a lot of variables were happening that happened when I lost. First of all, I mean, I wasn't thinking about it, but I had a conference called Leadership. Wasn't thinking about it when I lost my seat. I had a conference called Leadership. The office that I was in, I tried to get another office. The only office I could get was the office that I was in when I lost. So everything was lining up when I lost. I said, okay, God, now you got me in this race. But everything around me looked like it looked when I lost. And, you know, I wish God would just speak when we want him to, or when you want him to. I know we want, but God don't do that. I think God waited, and I don't know why God do this, but he's God, okay? God waited 5 days before the race and began to speak to me. And he said this, and it was so profound. He said, I'm taking you to the place where you lost. Isn't that something? So you can pick up the pieces in your life that you lost. So I'm taking you down that same road. And it's not that some of you may be going through that right now. It's not that God has you going in circles and God don't know what he's doing. It's just that God is using you as expensive bait. You know, in the Bible, when the children of Israel, when they were right there at the opening of the Red Sea, before it opened, can you imagine how people were talking noise to Moses and all the leaders? Oh, y'all brought us here to die, and the Pharaoh and the horses and the chariots of horses coming up behind them, and they're stuck right there, and a big Red Sea is right there. Now, listen, these are two words I will never forget. Right there in that particular place, if you do a study in the Hebrew, the name of the place was Pi-Hahiroth and Baal-Zephon. I don't feel like spelling that, okay? Pi-Hahiroth and Baal-Zephon. Those are Hebrew words, and they mean lookout point. In other words, God created a platform for everybody who thought that the children of Israel weren't going to make it. I mean, it looked like they weren't going to make it. But God showed up and he split the Red Sea. That's what God did for me. He created a platform. That's why you cannot be a champion unless you play the game. A lot of folks, they don't want to get in. They want to ride the bench. They don't want to be put in. But God had me at Pi-Hahiroth and Baal-Zephon so he could split the Red Sea and everybody could see it. Yes, God showed up and showed out. And he told me, I brought you back to this place. And there's some things that we complain about, God, you know, why don't you just let this be a little easier for me? But I'm telling you, when you go through things that are hard and difficult, it makes you strong. If you work out with 5 and 10 pounds, you're going to have 5 and 10 pounds muscles. But you start working out with 150 pounds, with 200 pounds, and then people will be able to see the difference. Those of us who have been through something, you can look at somebody who's been through something, and you know that you know that you know. We even know each other. But as we're stepping into this new season, as we're stepping into this new year, we need to know that there is an expected end, but we walk by faith, not by sight. And look at this scripture, Ephesians 4 and 22. It says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let me read another scripture. Job 8 and 7 says, though your beginning was small, your latter end will greatly increase. Listen, God bring great things out of small problems. Listen, that thing that nitpicking thing that keeps bothering you, God's going to take it and he's going to turn it around for your good so that he will get the glory. And your latter reign will be greater than your former. But you're going to have to work out with some weight. You're going to have to let God take you through something. As we begin to talk about new and talk about going into a new season. And, you know, I want to even mention the term new day. You know, being a softball player, I play softball. Now, I can't play basketball. But being a softball player, I play volleyball, play softball. But when you were really losing, you were really behind, and we caught up, we did a rally, and we caught up, and then it seemed like we could win, and you could begin to see that you could win. It's called a new day. Put that on the screen. God is giving you a new day anointing. A new day anointing. And that new day anointing is a new day where not only will you know you're winning, I'm talking about you're not just going to win, but you will know that you're winning because you are experiencing a revival. You are experiencing a rally, okay? Lamentations 3:22 and 23, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies, and we got to get this, that we are not consumed because his compassion fail not. His mercy is new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. And the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Put that on the screen. The Lord is my portion. No matter what you're going through, no matter what season you're in, when you know that God is your portion, you can't lose. Listen, even if you come in last, you don't lose. The Bible says that the last will become first and the first will become last. Isn't that a powerful thing in God? You know, even as we pray, what's that noise? AC. It's raining.
No, it's AC.
Oh, okay. Even if you lose, you win in God. I lost the race. I lost re-election for city council. Okay, in Jacksonville, Florida. And while folk were laughing, oh, yay, we got rid of her, I'm still here. Guess what? Because even in that loss, God used it as an elevation, as a promotion. And I ended up leaving the city council and immediately going to become a member of the House of Representatives in the state of Florida. I'm not saying that's what your situation is, but I do believe that because God's mercy is new every morning. That's why we command our morning. And if it wasn't for the mercy of God, for God's mercy and his grace, we'd be consumed. We're not worthy of half the stuff that God do for us. But because of his mercy, because he's so long-suffering, because God is so compassionate, he has passion and compassion for us, and therefore this says right here, it says that the Lord is faithful. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord, my soul, okay, check this out. My soul says, okay, my soul says that the Lord is my portion. You know when your mama used to speak to you, or somebody spoke to you, and you knew that they meant what they said, that's because they're speaking from their soul. You know, when you speak from your soul, you're speaking from your oofs. You're speaking from your belly. You know, your real spiritual ears. Your spiritual ears are not up here. The Bible said, let whoever has ears hear. You don't hear up here. That's carnal hearing. You hear from your belly. There's something on the inside of you. That's where your discernment ain't in your head. Because there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death. Your discernment is right here. Come on, put that up on the screen. My discernment is in my ooze. O-O-C-E. That's the Greek word for ears. Let whoever has an ooze, let whoever has ears hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church at large. And it's not just the church. I believe that God is speaking to some folk that don't go to church. You know, the Lord, my soul says that the Lord is my portion. I'm talking about my soul for a reason, because I believe that when God breaks that ball and chain, I want you intercessors to start breaking, when you start praying and talking about breaking chains and break that ball and chain, that spirit of heaviness, that thing that's not connected to nothing, and you should be free, but you're still stuck because you're not in bars. There's no locks, there's no keys, there's a ball and a chain. It's another level of spiritual bondage where you could be bound by something and not even know it. But this is the day that the Lord has made. And even in the season of Rosh Hashanah, as you step out in faith and step into the newness of what God is doing, I believe that the Lord is saying that, y'all ready for this? Now we're getting ready. Y'all better go make some phone calls. God is saying he's breaking old ties and soul ties. He's breaking old. You're talking about a ball and a chain. You know, it's a scary thing when you keep messing with something and you know it ain't good for you. I know I'm getting ready to get a whole lot of folk hitting some hards right now. You know that place is not where you should be. You know that person is not good for you. Amen. Listen. You know that thing is not for you to do. But yet and still, something in your flesh will make you still do it. You know, I believe that God is doing a new thing in the earth realm, where he will cause us to walk in a level of liberty that will baffle the minds of logicians and statisticians and counselors and people who keep stats. You know, I believe that people will be supernaturally delivered from medication and delivered from mind medicine, because God wants to get down in the spirit of our minds, not just in the natural. See, the spirit of your mind is down here, but you know, the natural man, the NAM, does not understand the things of the spirit. That's why you got some folk watching right now. They are so lost. Oh, she crazy. We don't know, but there's going to come a day, sweetheart. There's going to come a day, sir. There's going to come a day, ma'am, where every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. And there's going to come a day where every eye going to be open and they're going to see. So right now, you got mind binding and mind blinding spirits that are trying to shut people down so that they don't know what time it is. But there's an Issachar anointing that's coming upon us that we will know what time it is. And this is the time for the ball and the chain to be broken. Put that on the screen. This is the time. If you got something you've been dealing with, I'm telling you, there's no bars, there's no keys, there's no locks, but I'm still stuck. God is saying, deal with that ball and chain. That thing that you may be so weary from carrying that heavy thing around, or you may be trying to pull it and you just stuck. But God is going to bring us out of our ruts so that we cannot be stuck in a rut, that we can flow smoothly and flow freely in the Holy Ghost. Old ties and soul ties I bind in the name of Jesus. Now let me tell you one of the real ways to get rid of a old tie. Not saying just a soul tie, but an old tie. And this is a spiritual, put that on the screen, a spiritual danger zone. A spiritual danger zone. Okay. And this is not about, here we go, I just repent, I did this, I repent, I did that to this person, I said this, I did that. Uh-uh, this is not what this is about. This is not what you did to someone. What you really need to be delivered from is what somebody did to you. That's where the real healing is at. That when you can't get over what somebody did to you. Not what you see, it's I repent. I ain't gonna do it no more. But can you get over what she did to you? Can you get over what he did to you? It's a spiritual danger zone. You're talking about a chain, a ball and chain. We cannot carry things. We gotta let it go. And I'm telling you, pride will make us hold on to stuff when God did say, okay, let that person go. Let that thing go. Don't go there no more. Don't be in that place no more. I'm telling you, and sometimes it comes. Ooh, let me tell you something. A sore loser. Listen, a real champion know how to lose. Listen, everybody gonna lose sometime, but how you go through when you lose depends on how much you're gonna be losing. If you don't handle losing well, you're gonna keep losing. You have a failing, losing spirit. And the worst thing you want to be is a sore loser. You know, we need to learn how to lose. We need to learn how to not be first all the time. Always want to be first. Always the best. Always up front. You know what? You know where I've got my greatest accolades and promotion? When I was on the back row, when I was in the back, when folk didn't know the anointing of God that was in my life, but the angel of the Lord, the anointing of God, the blood of Jesus had my back, had me covered. And it's an awesome thing when people look up and people used to look at you. Yeah, her mama was this and her daddy was this. And yeah, you know, that's the one who did this. And she used to do this and that. But they say, uh-oh, how did she get there? Then you can sit up and say, how you like me now? Yeah, I've been there, done that. But how you like me now? Because I know how to lose. I know how to pick myself up in God. Listen, you waiting for God to pick it? Take up your bed and walk. You know, stop crying. Stop complaining. Stop murmuring. God hates a complainer. God hates a murmurer. And I just want to spend this little time with you so we can get free. And I want to tell you, there's many names of God. You know, Jesus is the name above every name. But there's one name, El Nose, E, capital E-L, space, capital N-O-S-E-I, El Nose, the God who forgives. Now, that's the most powerful thing you could experience is the forgiveness of God. Because as God forgive you, you got to forgive other folk. And if you, guess what? The kicker is, if you can't forgive me, God can't forgive you. All right? Unforgiveness is one of the strongest demons you can struggle with. It's holding bitterness. Unforgiveness, it will make you have a temperature that won't go down. I'm telling you, I know some people, they're so mean, so hateful, so unforgiving. Nothing the doctor did would allow, their temperature, they just had a temperature, just sick. Your blood pressure won't go down. You know, unforgiveness is a demon and it's a ball and a chain that you don't want to carry around. Now the first step, you know, when you're dealing with El Nose is you gotta let people go. Don't go back into relationships with people to get back at them. You know, I don't know why, but I'm gonna get into a little business. I got a lot of spiritual sons. And for some reason in the past 2 days, three of them called me. And they were having girlfriend problems. And they were saying the same thing. And I was like, God, this is something going on in the spirit. You know, there's a spirit of a thing. And I had three of my spiritual sons to call me and say, Mama Kim or whatever. They were in a relationship where they really weren't into it to the young lady. I mean, at the time, they, for whatever reason, they couldn't give her the time, the attention, or whatever. And not unknowingly, they kind of made this person upset, neglected the person. And all three of these boys, and I'm not going to, because they'd be so mad if I, because, you know, they want to be macho and want to be big, you know, macho men, you know. And I'm going to stop in the middle and take a caller after I talk about this. But. They kind of didn't give to the relationship that what they and it hurt the person. But then times got hard. They went back to the person. They went back. Put it on screen. Never go back. Come on, say never go back. Go. I hear the Lord saying, move forward. They went back. And when they went back, that just because they went back, it don't mean that person wasn't still wounded. That person hadn't got any healing. And they went back into that relationship. And all three of them said that the person just used the relationship to retaliate and to get back. Now, do that sound familiar? Do that sound familiar? The young ladies were in the relationship and all they could say, you remember you did this to me. You remember, and now I'm going to do you like, and now these guys are kind of feeling these girls, but the young ladies are bitter and they're hurt because of what happened. And so this happened in real life situations. And I'm just saying that sometimes you have to just move forward. You cannot go back to a situation that, and you can we blame the young ladies? No, they were hurt. But I blame you. Don't go back. Unless you know that God is healing you and God is connecting you with that person, because you know what's going to happen? It's going to turn out worse. Do we have a caller on the first caller? Yeah, can we get a caller? We got somebody going to make a comment. Hallelujah, because y'all know I can talk. All right, Carl, are you on the air?
Apostle Kim, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Can y'all hear this young man on the line? Hey. They can't. Okay, I can. Okay, so what's your question?
So I was actually had a very recent experience which you were just describing, where I went back to a young lady.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me ask you something. Now the radio the audience can hear him, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I'll tell y'all on Facebook. Okay, go ahead and explain to me, son. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I had a very similar experience of what you was just explaining, and I think it's sometimes us men, we don't talk about that enough. But I was one of them guys who went back to a young lady, and more so out of I wanted to because I broke up with her the first time, right? So I went back.
So you broke up. You broke up with her.
Yes, the first time.
Uh huh.
And the second time she broke up with me.
So wait a minute. Excuse me. The first time, second time. How many times y'all broke up?
This was two times. First time I broke up.
So once, twice, three times.
And the second time she broke up with me.
Okay. So what happened?
And it was a surprise. It was a shock.
You were shocked when she broke up with you because you was the man.
Because I was the man. Like, I just knew I was doing everything right. Buying flowers, cooking dinners, taking trips. Like, and then I get a text message to say.
You got a text. She didn't even meet you. She just sent you a text.
That's what I'm saying, Apostle. I got a text message. So that just tells me it was a one-way decision, premeditated. I don't want to hear what you got to say. It was a text message. And my response was, blessings. Goodbye.
So I mean we got people listening. Let me explain to the Facebook people out there. This young man is on the line. And what's your name?
Cassie.
Say it again?
I go by Cassie.
Okay, Cassie. Okay, he's on the line, and he's saying that, you know, he didn't do right in the relationship. He got back with this young lady, cooking dinner, giving flowers and all of that. And the next thing you know, he dropped her, he went back to her, and now she dropped him. And he felt some kind of way about that. You know, I don't have much time. I'm going to go ahead and go to another call, and I want to talk about this some more. I got some more scriptures. But just tell me, what did you learn anything out of this?
I did, because I'm just going to give you a 5-second story, because I know you have other callers waiting to talk. But I'm telling you that I know this was so God, because Wednesday earlier, we were supposed to do something or whatever, that didn't happen. And I casually said out loud to God, I said, if this is not meant for me to have, you take her from me. And I'm telling you, 2 hours later, that's when I got that long text message saying, I got to depart from you. And I was just like, God. I mean, I know God can answer prayers whenever. And when I casually said that, I was like, God answered that almost immediately. And I just went into a rejoice.
So you started, you was hurting, but you was rejoicing because you knew you was in the will of God.
Yes.
But Cassie, listen, thank you for calling in. I'm going to go ahead and, and talk to everybody here. Listen, this is, I got one more caller. Okay, go ahead. Caller, you're on the air. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Apostle. How are you?
Hi. And what's your name, honey?
Oh, if I can, I'll just remain anonymous, if that's okay with you.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Go ahead.
Well, I was listening to you, and I was thinking about a lot that you were saying about becoming the new you and how all of this can affect our relationship with God and what this particular holiday is bringing to us. And then hearing the young man just talk about how that he went backwards and then he went forward with her, and then the same seed that he had planted in her, she now planted that seed in him.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates this cycle. And so I was just sitting here thinking about just how oftentimes that people just forget to be authentic to themselves and real to themselves, in the sense of understanding that there are some things within ourselves that we have to deal with. And so as you are speaking and reading these particular scriptures, it reminds me just about how we have to be authentic to ourselves and how we have to just deal with the issues that are going on in our lives, and that this is a good season. This Rosh Hashanah season is a good season for us because it brings into awareness the things that we need to forget about, and that we need to start a new you. But there's some things, Apostle, that we have to deal with in our lives that holds us back. There's some things that we got to put into practice that we have to be deliberate with in order to become this new you, or this authentic you, which we were purposed to be in our mother's womb. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Okay, well, what she's saying to all the Facebook folk, she's saying that as we're going into Rosh Hashanah and we're talking about these relationships, and she was mentioning the situation where the young man didn't give fully to the relationship, got back with the young lady, and she retaliated on him. She was like, okay, you treated me, you was a little slow, I'm going to be slow with you. And it hurt him a little bit. But what this young lady on the line is saying is that we need to be focusing on a new me, a new you. As we're going into a new year, a new spiritual season, it's time to allow God. Listen, we have to be able to put our hands on our chest and say, it's me standing in the need of prayer. And I always have been a firm believer, there's nothing behind me, for me. You know, my destiny is ahead of me. And oftentimes, people get lonely, people get depressed, people get whatever, and you always want to go back. Listen, you can't change people. That place is not going to change. The only thing that's going to change is you. Paul is a bad brother in the Bible. And Philippians, the third chapter, 13 and 14, he said, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it or that I have arrived on my own. He said, but this one thing that I do, I got some issues, I got some problems, I'm not perfect, but this one thing I do, I'm forgetting what's behind me, and I'm pressing toward the goal of the prize, for the high calling of what is ahead of me. I am going somewhere. I'm not just Jane, stop this crazy thing on a treadmill, just moving just to be moving. It's in him that I live and move and have my very own being. And I just want to let you know that we have a goal. We have a prize. And old ties and soul ties will mess us up. We got to be connected with the right people at the right time, in the right place, doing the right thing. I'm not saying that we have to be perfect, but I am saying this to you, that, you know, with everything we said, Apostle, where do we go from here? Okay, how do we start? We can start with Proverbs, the third chapter, the fifth through the sixth verse. It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Come on, hit those hearts for trusting in the Lord. And do not lean to your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will do what? He will direct your path. We need to be spirit. A lot of us are spirit-filled, praying in tongues, doing all this kind of stuff and that kind of stuff for the Lord or for our business or for our family. But we need to be spirit led, not just so spirit filled we're about to bust. What you doing with all that anointing? Greater is he that's in you than him that's in the world. And then once we go to Proverbs 3:5-6, you can flip right over to Philippians 4:6, where it says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Put that on the screen. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You can't leave the Thanksgiving out. Listen, I ain't trying to be funny or nothing. But we God be blessing us so much, and we on the next list. We ain't told God thank you for what he's done already. You got to tell God thank you for what he's already done. If you can't thank me, listen, if I take you shopping, or if I, you know, take you out to dinner, if I feel like I done a little something for you, you know, and one time you may forget, but every time, if you're seemingly not able to just say thank you, or maybe you're acting like I'm not doing you a favor, I'm doing myself a favor, why would I want to do any more? So through prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You say what now? Okay, we got another caller. Okay, we got another caller. All right, now, y'all, if we have any hecklers, I'm telling you, I'm going to shut them down. Go ahead. We shutting all trolls down. Okay, go ahead. Caller, you're on the air.
Good evening. It's Victoria Lynn.
You're the only one. Hey, Victoria, how you doing?
I'm great, Apostle. Yeah, I have a question, even a comment, rather. Is it safe to say, for as our children or even our loved ones, to pray that God would remove that person because they're in a bad relationship, it's not healthy, to remove that person that's not supposed to walk with them in their God-given destiny?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Matter of fact, I will pray that person away in my child's life. You know what I'm saying? I pray to, and thank you for that question, because let me give you the scripture on that. Okay. Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the chapter 12th chapter says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may be able to discern what is the good will, the acceptable will, and the perfect will of God. Okay. So there, we just can't say the will of God. Romans, the 12th chapter, breaks the will of God down into three different parts, or three levels of the will of God. And, you know, if somebody's in your child's life and they got your child on drugs, or they got them living in adversity and in opposition in accordance to what God is calling them, that ain't hard to figure out that, you know, that's a person on assignment against them. And I'm going to cover my children and cover my loved ones. And yes, I will pray for folk to be moved out of their lives. But we pray for the perfect will of God. And as we begin to pray personally for the perfect, for the will of God, you start with the good will. Then you get to the acceptable will and the perfect will. There are, and y'all put these up on the screen, put good will, acceptable will, and perfect will. This is in Romans, the 12th chapter. The good will is the agathos, A-G-A-T-H-O-S. The acceptable will is the eurestos. These are Greek words, E-U-R-E-S-T-O-S, eurestos. The perfect will is the teleos, T-E-L-I-O-S. Good will, the agathos, the acceptable will, the eurestos, the perfect will, the teleos. The good will, it starts out, you know, with faith. I'm just here. I don't have a clue. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm just here by faith. I believe. And that's the goodwill. I'm just here, you know, because I believe God. I don't have no confirmation, no witnesses, no, you know, I'm just there. But when you go into the acceptable will, the eurestos, that means that word eurestos means agreement. It means that things are happening and I'm beginning to come in agreement with the will of God, my will and God's will. Is coming in agreement. You know, I'm lining my will up with his will, and I don't have it all together. I never have it all together, but I at least have an inkling. I have a clue of what's going on, and that's the acceptable will, the eurestos. But when you get to the perfect will, put that up there, the teleos, T-E-L-I-O-S, the perfect will of God. That's when you're smack dab in the middle of the will of God. You can't lose. With what you people can, Listen, let me tell you something. God spoke to me. And Victoria, thank you for calling. Is there anything else you wanted to ask about that? That was a good question, but is there anything else you wanted to ask?
No, ma'am. I'm finna beat the devil down now.
You better beat him down. If you don't beat him down, he'll beat you down. How many more minutes we got? About 10? Yeah. About 12 more minutes. But listen, the Lord does speak, okay? He's speaking all the time. But we need to get in place to hear, to have an ear. Stop listening up here. God said, I'll baffle the minds of the logicians. Come on, hit those hearts for discernment. I'll baffle the minds of the logicians. I'll baffle the minds of the statisticians. God says, I will take the foolish things to confound. There's some folks sitting up there, they don't know how I be winning political races. How could this girl cast out demons? You know, a demon buster. You know, cast out demons, taking names. Ain't no shame in my game. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just like people flaunt their sexuality and flaunt whatever, I'm going to flaunt my God. Okay? There's people in newspaper articles always, Kim Daniels is proudly. Yes, because just like folk are proud about whatever they're proud of with all that devilishness, I'm proud of the Holy Ghost and I'm proud of everything that this country allowed me to do as a believer and as a person of faith. I ain't trying to push nothing on nobody, but if you hang around me long enough, the fire that's on me is going to, that's what they're scared of. The fire that's on me is going to get off on you. You know, God spoke to me and I was like, God, what is going on? And the Lord says, you know, there are some people who underestimate us as believers and they overestimate themselves. And they keep one key ingredient out, and that is the calling, the high calling. We're pressing toward a mark for the high calling. You know, we're not. There's somebody calling on the phone. There's another caller. You gonna put him on air? Yeah, go put him on the air. Caller, you're on the air.
Pastor Z. Pastor Kimberly.
Hi,
I'm local. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Okay, if you could turn your radio down just a little bit, I'm getting a little echo.
This is a powerful hour that you are delivering here in Jacksonville. But, you know, I start from the kindergarten point of view, and the first thing I believe that we have to do, first of all, is really believe the word. We got a blueprint for life, and it's the word of God. And then you have to have faith in God. Faith is just as simple as when you sit in a chair, you believe that chair is going to hold you up. You have to have that kind of faith. When you flip a light switch on, you have to believe that light is going to come on. Then you got to trust that he will do it. You said you gave a powerful, one of my power verses, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Another one is that I live by is we wrestle not against flesh and blood. When you believe and embrace that, then the things that you see, the things that you see, you won't get mad at, because you know it's the spirit on that person or the spirit on that thing that is coming against you. We all living in a family feud, and as long as we live, and that's the flesh versus the spirit.
Amen.
We're gonna always live on that, but we got to know that Romans 8:28 stands true on all things. It didn't say all things was gonna be good,
mm-hmm.
but it said all things will work together for the good. And for the man in that relationship, we as men are in authority, but it won't work unless we're under authority. When you're under authority, you're listening to the obedience of God. And I know I don't have a few seconds, but a lot of times we use the statement that I'm going through something. Well, thank God that you're going through it and you're not stuck in it. You know what I mean? And
amen.
I'm just thankful that you gave me a few minutes to... So another thing you said about pride, pride is the handle to all sin, you know, and forgiveness is better for you than it is for the person that you've forgiven, because you won't have hypertension. You won't have high blood pressure.
Wow.
You won't have a nervous breakdown. You won't turn against, go to drug. I need a drink. Why? Because of something external? Because of something that happened external? God bless you, Pastor Kim.
Yeah, listen, brother, I appreciate when you said, well, men are in authority, real men in authority are under authority. Now, I can follow a man that's under authority. That's a real good thing, and I appreciate that. But we're gonna take this time and right now. We're gonna close out in prayer. But thank you, brother. I appreciate you, brothers, calling in and sisters for calling in. And right now, you know, as we are stepping into transitioning into the spiritual new year, into the new year, according to the Hebrew calendar, according to the Jewish calendar, I'm all about the feasts of the Lord, the appointed feasts at appointed times. I believe that they are perpetual. You know, it's just not like, oh, this is the New Testament. No, I am Jesus, girl. Jesus is a Jew, and I'm all about that foundation. But let's close out and pray. Father, we bless you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We thank you for those that are listening over the airwaves of Praise 107.9. We thank you for those who are watching and listening by Facebook right now. God, we thank you that we're under the spout where the glory is coming out. And I pray, God, for a collective anointing, that we're under the umbrella of the Holy Ghost, and not just under the umbrella of the Holy Ghost, but God, I thank you for that individual anointing as mantles are coming upon individuals who are new creatures in Christ Jesus. For those who aren't under the spout where the glory is coming out, God, I pray the anointing of conviction upon them from the north, south, east, and the west. God, save our aunts, our uncles, our cousins, our children, our grandparents, those who don't know you, our mothers and our fathers. God, I thank you that old things are passing away, and we will have a vision, be able to behold and see that all things are becoming new. God, we thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And God, as we rise up every day to command our morning, we thank you that the angels will grab a hold of the four corners of the earth realm and shake wickedness out of our personal lives in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you that we will know your springing forth. We will know your breaking loose, God. We will know our coming out. And we bind that spirit of the ball and the chain, especially in relationships where folk are falling out with each other and retaliating. I bind the spirit of retaliation. I bind backlash and revenge and retaliation in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you, God, for a ceasefire. God, I thank you that you're bringing a calm in areas where there's confusion and where there's division and where there's delusion. Satan, we bind you. Get out of our relationships in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that you are anointing us as individual with the things that we put our hands to the plow to do. You're anointing the places where the soles of our feet shall tread in the name of Jesus. And God, you're anointing the people that we are connecting ourselves with. God, allow us to see us. God, allow us to see our shortcomings, that we are not perfect. Let us be that man that will sit in the mirror and receive the deliverance of the Lord. God, I thank you that you're sharpening our spiritual uses. You're sharpening our spiritual discernment, God, so that we would know what time it is and that we will be as the sons of Issachar were. And God, I thank you for new beginnings, that you know, God, the things that you think of for us, and the plans that you have for us, and the thoughts of peace, and the things that are not evil that you are giving us, God, and expect it in. God, I bless you and glorify you and magnify you, God, that we don't consider ourselves to have arrived. We don't think more of ourselves than we ought to. God, I thank you right now that we put on the whole armor of God from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet in the name of Jesus. And God, I bless you and I glorify you that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. God, I bind all backbiting, backstabbing, undermining, anything that's slick and subtle and smooth that comes out of that Luciferian doctrine in the name of Jesus. Father, we loose ourselves right now. God, we take up our own beds and walk right now in the name of Jesus. And we're pressing toward the mark for the goal, for the prize of the high calling. God, there are many voices calling. There are many callings, but we press to the high calling. We will not let go until you bless our souls. We are moving forward. We hear the voice of Moses in the earth realm. We hear the voice of Moses in the spirit. And we say that we will move forward because there's too much bondage in Egypt. There's too much warfare in the wilderness, unwarranted warfare, warfare that comes from self-inflicted curses that we put upon ourselves from disobedience. We bind the spirit of Baal Peor, the Lord of the opening, in the name of Jesus. God, let every door that's been opened in our lives, let every door that's been opened in the lives of our children, in the life of our seed. God, we don't want to go into the promised land without our children. God, we decree and declare that the blessings of the Lord, they are yea. Come on, hit those hearts. Come on, pray. And amen. And God, we commit that we're not trying to change people. We commit that sometimes, even when our environment don't change, we have to get under the spot where the glory is coming out. And God, we must have a change. And God, I thank you for the change in the spirit of our minds. God, we trust in you, God. We believe you, God. And we thank you that we'll not lean to our own understanding, but we will acknowledge you, God, in all of our ways, and you will direct our path. Well, that's it. We're right at the end of this show, but I just want to tell you, God's getting ready to show up and show out on your behalf. There's a mighty anointing being released in the earth realm, and I thank God that I'm a part of that with you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's show. To contact Apostle Kimberly Daniels at Spoken Word Ministry,
the ultimate gospel experience, W300CU Jacksonville and WKSL HD3 Neptune Beach, the new Praise 107.9.
Thank you for joining us here at Truth and Love Ministries for this week's message, where it is our desire to connect people to God, connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. So connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or leave us a message on our website at truthandlove.tv. While you're there, stay in the know with our weekly news broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Now here's the message already in progress.
Each had six wings. Two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. When, good God, when God gave Isaiah a fresh vision and caused him to look up where the King of Kings was sitting, he saw a crowd that he had never saw before. Can I tell you that the reason why you are still here, being held down, cannot go to the height and the depth that God wants you to go to because of your crowd, because of your circle, because these angelic beings were in the presence of the Lord. People, good God, who hang out in the presence of the Lord have a different crowd. Oh my God. See, people who hang out with God have different associations. See, the devil is not going to commit suicide. The devil not going to hook up with somebody that he know going to cast him out. The devil not going to hook up with somebody that he know is going to give him a run for his money. But no, what he does is he hooks up with somebody and attaches himself with somebody who won't expose him. He attaches himself to someone that somebody won't call him out on what it is that he's doing. And the devil, he goes away and he hides and he seeks and he steals and he kills and he tries to devour, because he knows if he can keep us in this little small crowd, he knows if he can keep us hanging around the chickens, he knows if he can keep us barking and pecking and squabbling and doing like chickens do, and just all this talking about this stuff and talking about can't never fly nowhere, just flap just for a minute, hit the ground. That's our crowd. That's some of us. I told you last week we ought to drop down and get our eagle on. I told you last week that we ought to mount up with wings like an eagle. That's Isaiah 40:31. We ought to mount up with wings, but some of us, we're hanging out with them old chickens. All we doing is scratching around. All we doing is just scratching and then we try to fly. We can't go nowhere because we too fat. We can't go nowhere because we don't got no wing. But can I tell you, when you change your crowd, you'll change your climate. When you change your crowd, you'll change everything that it is that God desires to do in your life. God will give you a fresh cloud. He'll give you a fresh crowd so you can head to the clouds. God, he'll give you a fresh. Amos 3:3 says, how can we walk together and not be agreed? How can we walk together and be who it is that God wants us to be, and we're not agreed? We're not going in the same way. We're not going in the same direction. That's what's happened even at Truth and Love Ministries, because we're headed this way. This is our train track. This is our overall vision. We're not trying to be this church. We're not trying to be that church. I'm not trying to be like that preacher and that preacher and this preacher. I'm trying to do what it is that God have called me to do. And if we would get in line and do what it is that God had called us to do, there won't be any division. There won't be any trying to do this and trying to do that. We know what we're doing, and we know what we're called to do. I'm preaching. God will give you a fresh vision. I'm almost done. He'll give you a fresh vision, fresh upward vision. He'll give you a fresh crowd. And when you got a fresh crowd, you'll have a fresh conversation. Woo! I've got to give you a fresh conversation. Folk, good God, I don't want to give it away. Let me just read the verse. Look at verse 3 and 4. I'm not making it up. It's in 3 and 4. Look, 3 and 4 says, and one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Woo. A fresh conversation. People who hang around God for real, though, don't talk like people who don't hang around. I used to always think when I was a young preacher, I can say that now. I've been preaching almost 20 years now. I can say when I was a young preacher, you know, when I go preach at a church, they only had a year old, year two. I say, come on, son, let me tell you, son, how you ought to do it, because I got a couple days on me. I'm 35 now. Can I tell you that God? Can I tell you? I used to think that the angels were saying this to God. I promise you I did. I just think they're flying around saying to God, holy, holy, holy. But the book say they said it one to another. So because they're in the glory of God, because they're in the presence of God, their conversation was differently. They talked a different way. They articulated their words a different way. And what they said, holy, holy, holy. I don't know how you can have a fresh vision. I don't know how you can look upward. I don't know how God can change your crowd when you're always still saying the same thing. Your conversation needs to be holy. Your conversation needs to be about the things of God. And here, look what they said. They said the whole earth is full of his glory. The angels were optimistic. The angels said everything we see in the earth has God's glory in it. Oh my God, I'm trying to raise up a group of people that are not disgruntled. I'm trying to raise up a group of people that don't have a problem with every situation, but in every problem they see an opportunity. I'm looking for a group of people that don't look at their glass halfway empty, but they look at the glass halfway full. I want to talk to a group of people that can talk like the angels and say that God's glory is in everything. His glory is in my sickness. His glory is in my firing. His glory is in my discouragement. His glory is in what I'm going through. They said one to another. Oh my God, can I tell you that the angels, even on even the Ark of the Covenant. Remember we talked about the Ark of the Covenant before, that little small little chest, and on the end of the chest it had a cherubim or had angels, and the angel's wing was spread over the ark, and in between the angels it was what they called the mercy seat. Underneath the mercy seat is where they put Aaron's rod, where they put some manna, and they put the Ten Commandments. And every time the high priest would come and they would offer up the blood, they would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. And the mercy seat in between the angels, that's where the Shekinah glory of God would be symbolic and come and rest. Can I tell you that when we are crying one to another and we have elevated optimistic conversation, can I tell you that's when God will come, his Shekinah glory will come and get in the midst of us. Oh, if any two of you touching on anything, oh my God, and I'm talking about the word, and I'm talking about Jesus, he said, I promise you, I will be there in the midst. Oh, God is looking for some people that's not talking about how bad it is. God is looking for some people not talking about how ugly this is and how mean and nasty people are, and how the church hurt you, and how the church did this to you. But no, God is looking for some people that no matter how bad it is, no matter how hurt I am, I'm talking about his glory. Oh yeah, it hurt, but God brought me through it. Oh yeah, it was mean and nasty, but can I tell you, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. God is looking for some people like Paul and Silas. They were locked up in that jail. The Bible says, and it was at midnight, and Paul, Colby commentary, say, Paul, say, my name start with a P. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to praise. Silas, say, my name start with an S. I'm going to sing unto the Lord a new song. Come on here. They went to praying. They went to singing. And can I tell you, the elder, I told you, I talked about the rock and roll, the king of rock and roll. Hell, he wasn't the first. Oh, jailhouse rock. But no, 1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. No, but can I tell you that while they was there praying, while they were there believing God, while they were praising Brother Haynes, can I tell you, the Lord came there and he shook that place. Can I tell you, when you and I are together and I'm saying, don't you know God is good? And you saying, yeah, he good. When I say, what did he do for you? He said he did this for me. When I tell you that God is good, you say, yes, he's good. When I tell you he healed my body, I say he healed mine. When I say he regulated my mind, he'll say he regulated. When I tell you, when I go the word at you and you throw the word back at me, can I tell you, God coming to pick up his glory. When I tell you, when I give God some glory and give God some honor, he gonna shake some stuff. Y'all think I'm making this up? Look at verse 4. The foundations of the threshold. I told y'all a couple weeks ago how you sort of shake stuff off. That's how you're supposed to shake some stuff. Verse 4 says the foundation. I ain't got time. I got to get out of here. The foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him that called. The house was filled with smoke or his glory. When I'm hooked up with the right crowd, when I'm hooked up with the right people, my God, that's when God's glory will be. And that's what happens. That's why I don't run behind everybody who jump off the ship. That's why I don't go behind everybody who leave this local church, because maybe you wasn't supposed to be here anyway. That's why I don't run behind folk, because can I tell you that if you're not supposed to be here, I don't want you here. It's not about numbers. It's not about members, but it's about us talking the same thing. It's about us being able to give God some glory and give God some honor. Oh, that will help you in your life if you stop chasing everybody who changed their number. If you stop chasing everybody who don't want to be your friend no more. I promise that it may help you in your life if you'll just let them go on the ease on down the road. If you'll just go on, let them go and stop running behind them. Stop being all heartbroken. But no, maybe you were not here. Can I tell you, we're not for everybody, but we're for somebody, because God has given us a... Yes, he did. Give us a fresh... When I get a fresh vision, my fresh vision gonna be an upward vision. He gonna give me a fresh crowd. We have a fresh principle. No, they ain't got nothing to do with it. We have a fresh conversation. And then God, born in West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground where I spent most of my days, chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool, sitting outside with B-balls and a couple of guys. They were up to no good. Started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got one little fight. My mom's got scared. She said, how y'all know that? I'm trying to figure out what's... my cousin told me. That's the only reason I know. My cousin told me. Look what Uncle Phil says right here. God, when Jeffrey gives me a word, go home. What that boy name was? Jay-Z. What his name? Jazzy. Go home. Yeah. Anyway, let me keep going here. God will give us a fresh inward vision. When God gives you a fresh upward vision, when he gives you a fresh crowd, he'll give you a fresh conversation. And God will then give you a fresh inward vision. That's some good stuff, because when you really get in the presence of God, that's when God really starts revealing who you really are. I've told you, I've been so upset with my wife. I said, I'm going to tell the Lord on her. And I go into my little spot, and I've been saying, God, I can't stand this now. You got to do something with her. And then as soon as I get to where I find my thing I want to talk about, the Lord just start reminding me about some things. And I'll be like, man, don't worry about it. It's good. All right, sorry. I deal with it. When you talk to the Lord for real, have you ever went to somebody you want to pray on? Oh, I'm going to pray on them. Oh, I'm going to get them. I'm going to, oh, the Lord, God don't like ugly. And then you go to pray for real, Lord start reminding you of all this stuff. And you be like, I was just playing, God. You know, she all right. She all right. Look what verse 5 says. God gave him a fresh inward vision. And I said, woe is me. He didn't say woe is the nation. He didn't say woe is the rebellious people. Isaiah had a fresh inward vision. Oh my God, the reason why some of our visions is no longer fresh, the reason why it's become stale, reason why it's become stagnated, reason why it's lost its zest and its zeal and its momentum is because we spend all our time looking outwardly at everybody else. Everybody else is the problem. Everybody else is the victor. And I'm always the victim. But Isaiah, when he saw God for real, he said, woe is me, for I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. You see this? When he saw that different crowd and heard their conversation, it made him do a self-examination. He said, my God, I need you. Anybody who loved God for real knows that they need God. Anybody that loves God for real and trying to obtain and do what it is that God has called them to do, they realize their frailty. They realize if God don't help them, that they will not get, you know, they will have no success. If God be not with them, then come on here, they don't know. You don't got to worry about your boy getting the big head. You got to worry about me thinking I got this thing figured out, because I know I'm not that smart. I know me. Come on here, somebody. I know me, and I know if God is doing this, it's because of him. I know everything I know, he taught it to me. Everything I have, he gave it to me. Oh, whoever I am who I am by the grace of God. Isaiah said, woe is me. I'm trying to help somebody get a fresh vision. Maybe there's some things inwardly that you need to discuss. Maybe there's some things inwardly that you need to talk to the Lord about so he can help you deal with some of these things so you can get a fresh vision. I'm just gonna corporatize this story. There was a husband and a wife in the car, and the wife was saying, Harry, clean off the windshield, we can't see anything, you're gonna wreck this thing. And so Harry did what every good husband does. He does what his wife says. He gets out and he takes a little squeeze and he cleans, and she said, you ain't did nothing. It's still, you see all these spots and all this stuff. He said, hey, God, now you're getting a little frustrated now. So now you go in the house, get a little Windex and a little newspaper and clean the windshield off. And he get back in the car, she's still not satisfied. He look at her and say, baby, take your glasses off and clean your glasses. All the stuff is on you. You got a lot of smut on your glasses. Oh, my God. Can I tell you, I just made that whole thing up just then. Can I tell you that what God would do? God will allow us to have some smut. And we trying to fix the windshield. We trying to fix the bigger picture. We trying to fix what's wrong with everything else. And we trying to get everybody to fix everything else. But the problem is with my glasses. The problem is with my vision. The problem, oh, my my God. God, to give us a fresh inward vision. And God, to give us a vision to say, God, if you never change them, God, change me. Oh, my God. Let me speak that over every married couple that's struggling and straining and straining and struggling. And you're praying that God change your husband. You're praying that God change your wife. And God said to you today that if they never change, I want to change you. Oh, I told you on Thursday night that prayer is not to inform him. Prayer is to help you get inspired and for God to change you. Oh, my God. He said that there's a fresh inward vision. Oh, my God. But this fresh inward vision, it births something in the man of God. Oh, my God. When God gives you a fresh vision, he'll give you a fresh upward vision. He'll give you a fresh crowd, a fresh conversation, a fresh inward vision. And it ought to birth a fresh inner fire. Oh, my God. Isaiah got a fresh inner fire because of what God has shown him. Oh, yes, he did. It's in verse 6. The Bible said, then the seraphim or the angel flew to me, having in his hands a burning coal that he had taken from with tongs from the altar. This coal was so hot that the angelic being